Well, it is a privilege to be here this morning. Thank you, Jamie, for bringing us Titus 2. And now we're going to transition, and we are going to wrap up looking at discipline number 2, the home, and we're going to begin to move into discipline number 3, ministry. And so to do that, we're going to look at Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. So open your Bibles and let's look at this passage on Martha and Mary. I think most of you are familiar with this passage. If not, I just want to make sure that you understand. And so just to give you a very quick background, Mary and Martha are two single women, Martha being the oldest. Obviously, Mary then being the younger one. They have a brother, Lazarus, who later dies and Jesus raises him from the dead. You can find that account in John 11. Now, as we read this passage, there is no mention of servants, which was very common in that day to have servants. And so that implies, obviously, that the responsibility of preparing meals, of taking care of all of the things in the home, fell to Mary and Martha. So that's in case you didn't know about them. But I think to many of us, this is a very familiar narrative in the Word. Who doesn't identify with Martha, right? Frustrated over all of the things that she had to do, all of the work that's before her. And who doesn't admire Mary, her devotion to the Lord? Well, this morning we are going to look into the lives of both of these women. And most of all, we're going to listen to Jesus' words to them. He has much to reveal to us about himself in this passage, and much to reveal about ourselves. What it means to be a servant, and what will distract us from God-honoring service. And so as we look at this passage, I think we are going to gain new insight into discipline number 1 and its interconnectedness with discipline 2 and discipline 3. Why we must never neglect bringing our hearts to the Word of God and then learn how to shepherd them with His Word. Have you ever felt in your ministry, whether it's to your family, whether it's to those outside of your home, seems to be filled with endless preparations and tasks? Have you ever felt distracted, carried away by all of those demands and by those preparations? Have you ever felt alone in your ministry? Have you ever felt that no one else really valued or was sensitive to the many demands of your ministry? Again, whether inside your home or outside of it. Have you found yourself at times frustrated in your ministry to the people that God has placed in your life? And have you ever judged those around you when they seem to be oblivious to the demands that you feel of your ministry? I think probably some husbands would say yes if they were here to answer for us. And have you ever wondered how you would ever get everything done that needed to be done in your service, in your ministry? Have you ever felt that you started out well in your service, but eventually you lost sight? You got distracted and you lost sight of the real purpose behind your ministry. Well, if you've said yes to any of these, maybe all of them, then obviously you are going to be able to relate to Martha. And so just like Martha, we need to hear Jesus' words this morning as he addresses Martha and Mary. So let's look at the passage. It says, "Now as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? And tell her to help me.' But the Lord answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" Now, I want to start this morning by looking at what this passage is not about. Okay, these two sisters do not represent two equally legitimate priorities in the Christian life: inward devotion or practical activity in caring for those in our home and in ministry. Okay, if we interpret this passage that way, we've totally missed the point. This passage is not about personality types or temperaments. Mary, in sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his words, does not show us that she was unwilling to serve. Jesus is not trying to help us learn how to be balanced between Martha type ministry or working service and Mary type solitude. And the focus of this passage is not that we should be unconcerned about serving. This passage is all about our hearts before the Lord. So let's look again at verse 38. "Now as they were traveling along, he," obviously Jesus, "entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home." In this verse, we see a heart to serve. Martha started with good intentions. She welcomed Jesus into her home. Her intent was to extend kindness and hospitality as she received Jesus into her home. Jesus is certainly not saying in this passage that we should ignore extending hospitality or kindness. Look up for just a moment at the passage that comes before this. Look up to verses 25 through 37. What do you see there? It's the parable of the Good Samaritan. Jesus has just taught that we need to love others. How? By our actions, by our deeds, by serving our neighbor. Serving, we've learned, reflects the image of God. Remember? We were created to bear the image of Jesus as one who serves. Yet, there is great warning in this passage that follows right after it that we have to take note of. Okay, we can have the best intentions to serve and to extend kindness to those in our household, into those to whom we invite in, to those who we go out to serve, but good intentions don't guarantee a good ending. Okay, we cannot be deceived into thinking that a good beginning guarantees a good ending. We all have the potential to undo our good intentions if we are not careful. We must guard against the undoing by choosing the one thing that Jesus says is necessary. Let's look at verse 39. "She," Martha, "had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word." We see in Mary a heart engaged Mary understood the priority of shepherding her heart above all else. Does that remind you of anything? Your mind automatically ought to go to our theme verse for this year, Proverbs 4:23. Above all, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. That's what Mary is doing. She was taking full advantage of her opportunity to spending time and taking in Jesus' teaching. The Son of God himself was a guest in her home. So Mary took the initiative to take full advantage of it. Now, some translations say Mary, who also was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. The idea here is that Mary was serving along with Martha, but she leaves her serving in order to listen to Jesus. Verse 40 gives another indication that Mary had been previously helping Martha. When she says, "Do you not care that my sister has left me?" she acknowledges that Mary had taken part in serving. But Mary, unlike Martha, knew what part of serving was necessary. And then she was willing to stop at that point when she was drawn to Jesus' teaching. She understood her priorities. She had prepared what was necessary. And now she leaves her service in order to listen to Jesus' teaching. We have to, first of all, understand how unusual it was for a woman to take that position in that culture. Most Jewish rabbis would never teach a woman. But Mary was so drawn to Jesus that she dropped what she was doing at the appropriate time. And she went to listen to what Jesus had to say. And not only was Mary listening to Jesus' teaching, but she was doing something else that was remarkable for a woman. She was seated right at his feet. Now, why is that important for us to notice? It's important because it reveals her heart. Her position signifies her intense interest in Jesus' teaching. She got as close as she could get so as not to miss a word. She was literally captivated by her master teacher. Martha was interested in accomplishing. Mary was interested in a person. She was consumed with Christ. She sat at his feet and she listened to him intently. She wanted to know him. That takes a purposeful choice. She chooses to be free from distractions, even the good distractions, in order to choose the best. She was very intentional in her choice. Have you learned that as we have covered the wellspring disciplines each time we get together? We must learn to be intentional in choosing to be near Jesus as we take in his word and as we allow it to affect our heart. This will happen when we, like Mary, understand the treasure that we have in knowing him. Now, let's look at the contrast as we look back at Martha. I want you to look at verse 40. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." We see in verse 40 a heart distracted. Again, it isn't wrong that Martha desired to serve Jesus. Okay, it's not wrong when we desire to serve those in our household and those outside of it, those in our body, our neighbors, wherever God may lead us. Serving and working hard in service is good. In the early church, women were known for their service. Paul in Romans 16, 1 and 2 commends Phoebe, who is a servant and a helper in the church and to Paul personally. Romans 16, 3, Paul refers to Priscilla as his fellow worker in Christ Jesus. In Acts 16, 14 and 15, it tells us that Lydia opened up her home and extended hospitality to Paul. In Luke 4, 39, we find that immediately after Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law, she got up and she waited on them. She was sick, she was healed, she got up and she served them. These women are not in any way rebuked for their service. Service is commendable. But the moment we stop making it about serving for the glory of God, and we make it something other than Him, the focus of our heart, our attention, and our perspective can easily become self-absorbed. And our intentions, even at their best, can become sinful. That is what we see in Martha. Because the focus of her heart was about her and not her master. She was distracted in her service, and she placed too much priority on excessive service. She was worried about the cares of this world and possibly about the opinion of others. Proverbs 29:25 calls that the fear of man, and it tells us it brings a snare. Her distraction proves that the motive of her heart was not pure. Martha was worried and bothered in her service. It was all about doing at this point. Overemphasis on activity kept her from the one thing necessary. Martha at this point is drawn away from Jesus. Martha's heart was swept away by much preparation, swept away from the one she is ultimately serving. Ministry began to spoil because of what was in Martha's heart. And it doesn't stay confined within Martha. If your heart, if my heart is in the wrong place as we serve, others are soon going to be affected by it. Our family, have you ever seen that happen? Yeah, I have. Anyone we are ministering to are going to be affected by it. Martha was a woman who forgot to shepherd her heart, even when she thought she was serving Jesus. Ladies, that's the danger for all of us. We can become focused, so focused on discipline 2, our home, discipline 3, our ministry, that we forget where it all starts. Discipline number 1. We forget how easily our hearts stray. We forget the danger that our hearts are in, even when we are doing good things. That's why we keep saying over and over again, we never graduate from discipline number 1. We can't leapfrog over shepherding our hearts to get to something else. Martha is the perfect example of what happens if we neglect the care of our hearts. Again, Martha started out with good intentions. Remember, she was the one who welcomed Jesus into her home. But quickly, she became a whirlwind of activity, and she forgot whom she was serving. It was her Lord, her master, the one she loved. Her obsession for temporal provisions made her forget for a time the lover of her soul. How easy it is for us to get our priorities completely distorted. Here is Jesus right in her home, speaking divine truth, and Martha loses sight of the privilege that she has right there to hear the Lord of the universe teach her personally. Ladies, we have that same privilege right before us. We don't want to miss it. For Martha, in missing that time with Jesus, not only were her priorities wrong, but so was her attitude. We see Martha's lack of joy in serving her master. Rather than joyful, she becomes agitated. She becomes frustrated and exasperated, all because she missed the one thing necessary. Her heart turned inward and self-focused, rather than being focused on her treasured guest. What brought her to that place? We read of Martha's preparations, of her service as being much. Jesus refers to her preparations as so many things, meaning more than what was necessary. The idea here is that Martha felt overburdened and worried by all of the work that she perceived she had to do. She was anxious and distracted by her preparations. Martha put an exaggerated value on excessive service. Rather than displaying her love for Jesus, her service became a display of misplaced priorities. We all know that we can miss the heart of serving our families, by serving others, by being lazy. But we can also miss the right heart of service by being distracted by doing too much. When our hearts are swept away by preparations and they are not anchored or fixed on the right thing, that is when we lose our focus. That's what happened to Martha. She was distracted by her excessive service, and in doing so, she missed what was necessary. She missed the good part. She missed the opportunity to learn from the one that she was trying to serve. Now, when it says that Martha was distracted, it literally means to be drawn away, to be pulled in every direction. The verb is passive, meaning that she didn't fight against that. She allowed it to happen to her. Instead of keeping her focus where it seemed to be back in verse 38 when she welcomed Jesus into her home, she is now being pulled away from him. Instead of her heart being centered on Jesus, she's pulled away. Her service to Jesus then became a burden. Her overactivity had influenced and distorted her perspective. Her heart was pulled away from her Lord, and serving then became a drudgery. She received Jesus into her home, but then she neglected him as she got carried away in preparing a meal for him. Ladies, if we desire to grow in grace, we must be on our guard so that we are not carried away by the cares of this world. This is often where we fight our spiritual battle. We are easily distracted, missing out on the good part. Let's look further into that verse. When it says, Martha came up to him, that term implies that there was a sudden suspension of her feverish activity when she saw that her sister was just sitting there. Can you kind of relate a little bit here? Martha is exasperated, and she feels she has good reason to be thoroughly annoyed. So in her outburst of anger, Martha interrupts Jesus' teaching. Whoa. But you know what? That's what happens when our exaggerated self-importance invades what we do. We will be willing even to interrupt the Son of God. Martha stops what she's doing, and listen to this. She takes up a bold attitude, and she finds fault with Mary. And she addresses the real problem. She reproaches Mary for her selfishness. And notice, she doesn't even call Mary by name, but she refers to her as my sister. Does that give you an idea of how frustrated she is? Talk about a good lesson that reminds us to take the log out of our own eye, as Jamie referred to, before we even think about taking the speck out of someone else's. And not only does she find fault with Mary's actions, but she finds fault with Jesus' actions. She reproaches Jesus for his partiality. She says, "Don't you care about me?" In other words, you care about Mary, but what about me? Do you see the sin we so easily fall into when we are distracted by the excessive things that we think are necessary? Martha's solution to the problem was to tell Jesus what to do. You see that? Then tell her to help me. So first she accuses Jesus of not caring about her, and then she tells him what to do. She believed that she knew better than Jesus what needed to happen. Well, that gives us great insight into what was going on inside of Martha's heart. By making these statements, number one, Martha obviously was not shepherding her own heart as she accuses Jesus of being insensitive. Number two, Martha is concerned that she's left alone serving. From Martha's perspective, Mary had deserted her. She felt entitled to Mary's help. Her focus became so self-centered that she couldn't even see that Mary left for the right reason. A good reason. She wants her sister to help her bear her unnecessary burden. Martha's agitation is misguided, and her perspective is absolutely unacceptable. Number three, Martha is wrong in her judgment of Mary. She assumed Mary was being lazy. Martha's behavior reveals again her heart attitude. Her actions show us how cunningly and sinfully pride can distort and corrupt even our best intentions. Martha's pride is what caused her to judge Mary. She thought she knew what was best for her, and she thought she knew what was best for Mary. Just like Martha, our sinful pride can make us susceptible to judgment and to all other kinds of evil as well, to anger, to resentment, to jealousy, distrust, a critical spirit, and unkindness. In making an accusation against Mary, Martha is stating that Mary should serve her rather than serve Jesus. See how deceitful our hearts can become when they are not shepherded. And then number four, Martha demands that Jesus speak to Mary in order to get Mary to help her. In Wyss' expanded translation, he states that Martha takes a stance over Jesus. In doing so, she forgets, first of all, who she is, and she forgets to whom she is speaking. She forgets that she was his servant and he was her master. Ouch. Have you ever done that? I become forgetful when I am caught up in my own whirlwind of things to do. I forget who I am. I forget that I am a servant, a slave. I forget that I am needy, that I need his strength, and that I need his word, not only to help me get done the things that do need to be done, but wisdom to know what truly is important, and then to have an attitude that is willing to repent of my pride and to put aside the things that are not necessary, so that my work, so that my service will bring honor to him. And then number five, Martha was bitter over Mary's choice. Look at verse 42. When Jesus uses the phrase, "shall not be taken from her," it reveals again what was going on inside of Martha. Her bitterness now moved her to even want to take away from Mary what she had found in sitting at Jesus' feet. Martha was so deceived into thinking that her distracted service was most important that she began to despise her sister's wholehearted eagerness to receive instruction from Jesus. Again, do you see how careful we must be in our service? Our hearts are easily embittered. It is so easy to judge others, to think more highly of ourselves, of our ministry, than we ought to. Just like Martha, we must guard our hearts. Jesus knew that Martha's heart was not right. There is nothing good in Martha's anxious and troubled agitation. No doubt she loved Jesus, but her misguided idea of what it meant to serve him, it had to be revealed so that she could repent of it. And so we see in verses 41 and 42, a heart set right. But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." The searcher of hearts knows Martha's heart problem. It is obvious by her words and actions that she is outwardly upset. But Jesus also knew what was going on inside of Martha's heart. And so, like a tender parent, Jesus exposes Martha's sin and gave her the gentle rebuke that was needed. Martha, Martha. The repetition of Martha's name by Jesus reveals marked disapproval, to be sure, but it is also intended to bring her back gently. There is a sense of tender affection and grace in Jesus' concern for Martha. She needed to be lovingly yet firmly rebuked because she was missing out on what was most important. So Jesus helps her to see that she is worried and bothered about so many things. He helps her to understand that she is overwhelmed and that she has exaggerated the necessity of activity that distracted her. Proverbs 27:6 tells us, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend." Jesus' words are the balm that Martha needed. She needed to see that her heart was distracted, worried, and bothered. She needed to see that she was unwilling to look within her own heart to see her own sin. She was only looking outside of herself and making an inaccurate diagnosis of what she sensed was wrong with all of those around her. Whenever we criticize others and pity ourselves because we feel overworked, we had better stop and take time to examine our hearts. Perhaps in all of our busyness, we've been ignoring the Lord. Martha's problem was not that she had too much work to do, but rather her problem was that she allowed her work to distract her, to pull her away from Jesus. She was trying to serve two masters. If serving Christ makes us difficult to live with, then there is something terribly wrong with our service. There's something terribly wrong with our hearts. Jesus knew that Martha needed to understand that the motive of her service was not pure. Who was the focal point of Martha's service? She was. Jesus was not honored by Martha's service, and so he had no intention of defending it. In Martha coming to Jesus the way that she did, it seems that Martha was certain that Jesus would see things as she did and that he would come to her defense. She couldn't have been more wrong. Jesus knew what Martha needed. He knew that there was only one thing. One thing. It was what Mary chose, to sit at the feet of Jesus and to learn from him. We must choose to feast on his word, first and most, if we want our service to be God-honoring. So let's look at the contrast that we see in verse 42. There we see a heart that feasts. The rest of Jesus' response commends Mary's decision. She had chosen the one thing that matters, to sit and to reflect on Jesus' teaching. She chose the good part. Mary's feasting is by choice. Mary saw Jesus for who he was. Therefore, she disciplined herself to make the choice to be near her portion. Psalm 73:26 says, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Psalm 142:5, "I cried out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living." Psalm 119:57, "The Lord is my portion. I have promised to keep your word. I sought your favor with all of my heart." To be close to him and to have God as our portion is to have a heart that is teachable, ready to learn. There is a single-mindedness in Mary. We sense her wholehearted love for her Savior, that nothing will tear her away from him. Mary chose what would benefit her heart, her soul. She was seeking more grace. She was not coasting. She was striving for closer unity with Christ. When we choose this treasure, we will never be disappointed. That is a treasure, ladies, that will never be taken from us. How do we know that? We have the privilege of being able to look back on the cross and all that it accomplished. Jesus knew that we would be women just like Martha, who needed to be forgiven and cleansed and made new in him. And so he died and he rose to accomplish all of that. Are you feeling pretty convicted right now? Maybe even condemned? If that's the case, I want to remind you, there is no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. We see that in how gently Jesus restored Martha. Jesus told Martha that her heart was worried and bothered about so many things. And my heart and your heart gets worried and bothered about many things. And Christ died for our sinfully worried and bothered hearts. And now we are no longer slaves to unbiblical priorities, to sinful worry and distraction. But we are now slaves to Christ. And so even when we find that we have gone back down that path into destruction, we can flee right back to our Master, our Savior, right back to Jesus as we cry out and confess our need for him, our treasure. And he will be faithful to reorder our priorities and our hearts. According to Jesus, there is only one choice that we make in ministry that rises above all others. One choice that has a goodness to it that far exceeds the other choices that we make in serving those in our home and in ministry. According to Jesus, there is one choice to make that possesses a necessity beyond other seemingly necessary choices. According to Jesus, there is one choice that we make as his servants that brings pleasure to him above all others. Ladies, if we miss choosing this one thing, we will find that the rest of our service for Jesus is lacking. I want to end this morning with the other quote that you were given. Mary chose what was for the benefit of her soul. She was seeking more grace. She was striving after closer communion with God and his Christ. This was the portion which she preferred to everything else and to which she was willing for a time to postpone all earthly care. Those who seek such a portion will never be disappointed. Their treasure will never be taken from them. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are so thankful for your word. Thank you that you use it to expose our hearts. Father, I know my heart gets so distracted from the one place it needs to be most, to be taking in your word. Father, I pray that as we think more and more about serving in our home, serving in the ministries that you've called us to, that we will never forget the importance of first and most bringing our hearts before you. And when we do, that we will remember to come back to the cross, where we find forgiveness for our misplaced priorities. And Father, that there we will find joy in once again serving for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you have anything to do with the acceptance of the year of followers? I mean, you can hear one thing.